it's Mike Maloney here, coming back from Red Deer with the CWC The One Royal Rumble show from Festival Hall in Red Deer. Whew! I gotta admit, I am bushed after that card. Five great matches, including a 19-man Royal Rumble-style match, with the winner getting a number one contendership for the CWC Heavyweight Championship. And a hellacious finish to that one. And as well, there was a little bit of a demonstration that I don't think Maniac's going to remember anytime soon, but we'll get to that in a little bit here. But let's get to the matches here. First off, we start off with our CWC Canada Cup semifinal matchup. We had the headline Shawn Martins taking on Skyler Paris Austin, who, honestly, I didn't think he'd have a shot in this match. He's been a consummate underdog. I still can't believe the amount of train that he's gotten. Working with Xander Price tonight on commentary, he did let me know that Skyler's been getting some extra training with Dylan Stone ever since Dylan's been back. So, you know what? It was an interesting matchup, to say the least. Martin's had that match won at least 10 or 12 times. But Austin just found a way to gut it out. And eventually he just got a quick pin and a 1-2-3. And Austin moves forward. Martin's gets shocked. I haven't seen a guy that pissed off in a very long time. Proceeds to decimate Austin with numerous attacks following the match, with the final move being a pile driver, which Martin seems to have taken special attention to that move, which in many federations is completely banned with very good reason. Austin had to be helped to the back. Doctors did check him, and I don't know how, but they cleared him for the final, but we'll talk about that part a little bit later on here. Going on from there, we had a women's match. Envy was taking on Cherry Doll in Cherry's first singles one-on-one matchup in CWC and in professional wrestling. Now, this fight all stemmed over the stealing of a unicorn, a stuffed unicorn doll that is very precious to Cherry. You had Pride and Envy go to Cherry's house, and when she wasn't there, they seemed to obtain it. I'm still trying to figure out why this isn't theft, according to the police, but nobody wants to give me a straight answer these days, so I'll just leave it as it be. I will have to say that this match here, Cherry Doll really impressed me with her aggressiveness out there and her fight and her attackiveness. Her headlock takedowns a lot sharper and a lot deeper than what a lot of wrestlers put out there. Really snapping the neck as she's going down. And a lot of fight as she's coming up. And some of those right hands are absolutely vicious. So this is actually the second time we've actually seen Envy in the ring in terms of actually wrestling. And I gotta tell you, I was thoroughly impressed with what she did as well. Moveset looked a little familiar in spots, but I will say this, I haven't seen a super kick that good out of a wrestler since I see KJ Cash connect a few of those. So, but in the end, the firepower of Cherry Doll just ended up being too much for Envy, and the finish, I don't lose it on commentary for something, for a finishing move that often, depending on what it is and how it's applied. I'll take out the IRA out of that one. That's an exception, but This one I absolutely lost my mind on because I can't believe they actually pulled it off. Cherry Doll got Envy into, in women's terms, it's called a faith breaker. But when it comes to the men, it's known as a styles clash. I don't know exactly what they're going to call it, but all I know is it's going to be deadly. It ended up being a 1-2-3 for Cherry Doll. And folks, we've had talks about Yoshitatsu and how he got injured because he tucked his chin the wrong way. Envy was in perfect position to take that move when she realized she got caught. She couldn't kick out of it, but at least she protected herself absolutely properly. That's the key thing. After the match, Cherry Doll super fired up, super excited, and great to see her developing into one of the top talents in Alberta when it comes to women's wrestling. She's really starting to make a push right now, and I hope she gets some other competition here coming soon. From one of the highlights of the show to one of the more questionable points of the show, yes, promo time with Chris Parrish makes me want to vomit half the time. Yes, I know he's on my network, but he still drives me nuts. Comes out, 389, 395, yeah, 462, whatever days he wants to call it, days consecutively as champion. Seems to forget that he lost that title once and had to have it reversed. I still got to get over the legal matters on that one, but says that there's nobody here to beat him. All of a sudden, you have the Birds of Prey music come up, and Mystic comes out. Mystic opens up on the mic and says, "I'm tired of hiding behind a mask." Reveals himself, and then it's revealed to be young Cody Irishman, the Irishman's son. So he says that everybody knows who he is, and now he's going to be known as Son of Irish. Interesting. So Son of Irish comes out and he wants to challenge Chris Parrish. Now, I don't know how smart it is to take on the CWC champion, but you got to admit, the kid had guts. Did absolutely everything he could. Unfortunately, Parrish decided to feed him a super kick to start off even before the bell rings. But both these guys went back and forth, pulled off a lot of moves. In the end, Parrish ended up being way too much. But the ultimate sign of disrespect, hitting a super RKO on little Son of Irish there, or a, let's put it this way, a super IRA out of nowhere for the 1-2-3. If you want to disrespect somebody, use your dad's finishing move on him. Wow. But Parrish is still your champion, and he's good at still giving us a countdown clock here. I'm surprised there isn't a thing on Twitter every single day about it, but I'll digress at that as well. But coming up from there, just before we head to intermission, the UFC gym Red Deer is an official sponsor of the Canadian Wrestling Coalition. And some of the fighters that are at the UFC gym, I believe it's a Filipino Taekwondo karate type style demonstration that they had in the ring. I wasn't able to get the exact details. I was on the phone with CWC at office. There were some details coming in about the rumble I needed to get at. But all of a sudden, all these moves are going down. And lo and behold, Maniac decides to show up. Gets on the mic and starts trash talking these guys. Yeah. Maniac, you're great on the mic. You're great on the sounds of struggle. But I don't think you should piss off a martial artist. He ate a kick from the instructor of the course. Flush, and I think he was seeing stars, and frankly, throughout the rumble, I think he was as well. So, personally, I know that They managed to scrape him up and leave, take him to the back during intermission. I would have left him out there. I'm sure there would have been a ton of photo ops. But once again, we headed to intermission. And coming back from intermission, we had the Canada Cup final with an obviously injured Skyler Paris-Austin taking on the chairman of CWC, Johnny Kickass. Now, I'm on commentary for this by myself watching this, and you can obviously see that Skyler is hurting big time. He's holding his neck for the majority of it, and Kickass is not letting up on the head and neck. He's relentless. Kudos to him for, you know, having a definitive strategy. The only downside to this match I found is Kickass kept pulling Skyler Paris-Austin up to the point where I think the crowd actually was tuned out a little bit after a while. Because as much as you keep trying to punish the kid, he doesn't look like he's getting up, period. And after a while, the fans are just going to tune out. And then, who knows, they might be reading a book or whatnot. But Skyler did try to get a little bit of offense in. He did end up hitting a swipe left on Johnny Kickass. But due to a little bit of a ref bump earlier knocking out senior official Ken Kine, you ended up having Skyler, who had an opportunity to win it. Johnny came in, caught him on a follow-up move, and hit him with that double powerbomb for the victory and the Canada Cup. Now, Johnny Kickass gets not only the prestige of being the Canada Cup winner, but he also gets a title shot anytime he wants. That scares me. It could be anywhere. It could be hell. It could be at MPW next week, for all I know. But Johnny Kickass, as much as, you know, he's got that cocky attitude about it, it's going to bite him someday. But for right now, he is on an absolute roll. So who knows when he's going to cash in that chance. And if I was Chris Parrish, I would be a little worried, to be frank. But then from there, we go into our main event, the 19-man Royal Rumble match. Now, folks, if you've listened to this podcast on more than one occasion, I am not a big fan of Battle Royals, Royal Rumbles, etc., 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 because there is way too much going on in the ring, and typically where the big spot is at a certain point in time during the match, there's always something going on at the other side of the ring that's catching your eye, and you miss a lot of stuff. I'm going to try and sift through the footage on this and see if I can get it all straightened out. Few surprises in this card, or in this match in particular. You had the return of Xander Price at number 8. Price comes out, basically gets beaten up by the Cat's Meow. Gets eliminated fairly quick, but glad to see that Xander had a chance to get in the ring and push things around a little bit. But of course, number 19 was Lumberjack Larry returning to CWC. Much to the dismay of Pride, he's absolutely loved here at CWC. He's loved everywhere he goes. MPW, CWC, all over. You also had Maniac sort of, how do I put it? A little bit of Loopy Lane throughout most of this match, thanks to that lovely kick from earlier. Every time he got hit, he ended up doing a Ric Flair bump somewhere. Absolutely hilarious. Stupendous. You had the Wrecking Crew working out really well together. Sorry, folks. if you get a little bit of a gap there, trying to work 15 minutes straight without taking a sip or anything gets to you at some points. You have Mania excelling. One of the other big points in this match, if you guys remember back to last year's Royal Rumble matchup, Angelica was mistakenly not allowed to enter into the match. Referees made a bad call and said that women weren't allowed in the Royal Rumble. That was corrected this year. Cherry Doll managed to get in there. And my God, the right hands that she was delivering were absolutely vicious to anybody that came near her. In the end, it was a super, super duper kick by Envy that knocked Cherry Doll off the ring, and Envy was not in the match. That's what got me triply upset on this. Envy wasn't even involved. Pride sent Cherry Doll over the top, and Envy finished her off. And those two ended up brawling all the way to the back. But, you know, all those spots don't even come close to comparison to the debut of someone who legitimately scared me in the ring. Folks, if you checked out last month's, or sorry, 2 months ago's show, you had Envy take the man formerly known as Jack Hammer and basically took him off for training. Some weird voodoo stuff. I don't want to know, because if I try to learn what happened, she might put me under her spell. And, you know, being under the spell of Envy might not be the best thing in the world. Or, I don't know. But he comes out as Wrath tonight. And this is why their group is known as Seven. Let's face it, folks. We're talking about the seven deadly sins. We got Pride. We got Envy. We got Wrath. I don't know if I really want to know who the other four guys are in this group. They could be anywhere right now. But this is all about Wrath tonight. When he came out, everybody was scared crapless, especially in the ring. All the guys just, they were eating choke slams. They were doing everything they could to try to move the monster. He was not budging. Like, folks, if you put Jason into the ring, and not Jason the Terrible and the Wrestler, with all due respect, Mr. Moffat, you're a great guy. But watching Jason the Terrible just no-sell everything, get attacked with everything, and just doing everything at Jack's disposal. Oh, Jack tells you to do this, he does this. When he tells you to do that, you do that. Like, what is Pride going to get now that he's got this weapon of destruction in his hands? Oh, scarier than all hell, if you ask me. It took two men to get Wrath out of there. What really set Wrath off in this matchup was the fact that Lumberjack Larry eliminated Pride from the matchup, from the Rumble itself. And when that happened, Madman gone crazy, I think would be the best way to explain it. Checks, choke slams, just guzzling guys over the top rope. He went batshit insane in there. Sorry about the language, folks, but that's frankly what it was. In the end, you ended up having Wrath, the Wrecking Crew of Shawn Martins and Dean Richter, and then Jude Dawkins and Dylan Stone. Now, Wrath managed to dispatch the Wrecking Crew rather effortlessly. Oh, and I want to give a shout-out right now. One other guy that had a huge pop in this matchup was Bryce the Slammer Silva, making his CWC return. The place went nuts for him, and the number of body slams, I think, was around 48, 49, somewhere in there. And it ended up taking the Wrecking Crew 2-on-1 to eliminate Slammer. That brings up some hostilities back from the last time when they tagged up in a 6-team match. So, back to tonight. Wrath gets rid of the Wrecking Crew. He's about ready to get rid of Jude Dawkins. And essentially, you had Dawkins holding Wrath in a front face lock, pulling him over the top rope. And Dylan Stoke came in to clean up the mess. Got Wrath to the outside and finally got him eliminated. So that brought it down to Dylan Stone and Jude Dawkins. Now these two have a very healthy respect for each other. Hell, they tag team last month. So we get into this. They go back and forth, trade shots all over the place. Eventually, Jude manages to get Dylan over the top rope. And while you got Dylan trying to go for his tope con hilo, he gets caught with a kick to the legs, knocking him onto the apron. And then Jude goes across and hits him with a spear and sends Dylan Stone through a table for the victory and the number one contendership for the CWC Championship. Now, unfortunately, after the champion, Chris Parrish, got eliminated from the match, and he still says that he had a reason to be in this match, but I'll digress at that point. I didn't want to bring him up there. He had a chance. He was sitting down with me on commentary, trying to go through. I'm just trying to survive there, folks. I'll be frankly honest. He gets up from the commentary booth, goes over to Commissioner Gordon, and demands that next month he take on Jude Dawkins in a tables match. Folks, I have all the respect in the world for Mr. 495 and the PWI, but he's got to be nuts to take this out of his element and put it into an element where power is the big game, because you're going to have to drive somebody through a table. And that seems to me like it's a little bit more of a Jude Dawkins trademark match than it would be a Chris Parrish match. But they made it official on July 28th at Festival Hall in Red Deer. The main event is going to be Chris Parrish and Jude Dawkins in a tables match. Now, from what I've heard from the CWC at office, we're going to have as well the rematch between the ladies with Envy and Cherry Doll going at it, because, hell, they fought all the way out of the building. I think they're still probably fighting right now. I think one of them might be going to get some protein powder for Mr. Two Scoops, and the other one might be following them into a Subway somewhere. I don't know for sure. I'm trying to get some video footage of it, but there's going to be some great matches there. And a special announcement for people listening to this show that want to go. If you are living in the Edmonton area, we've made special arrangements with the CWC to have tickets available for sale in Edmonton via Backbreaker Media for the show. So if you don't want to pay the extra money, but you want to get a ticket to the show, please contact myself, anybody at Backbreaker Media. They will get a hold of me, and I can get you tickets for the next CWC show in Red Deer, July 28th. I don't even know what the name of the show is. All I know is it's going to be vicious, it's going to be tables, and yeah, it's going to be a revenge kind of show, because I got a feeling the Cheetah Bears actually going to break through here, no pun intended, and put Parrish through the table and get that championship in my early honest opinion here. But it's time to go for our highlight of the night and our surprise of the night. Of course, I'm by myself, so I get a few bonus ones. One of my highlights of the night, I have to say, is the crowd tonight. A lot of our regulars that come out to a CWC show were not in attendance tonight. It was a crowd that was predominantly new, and at the same time, a lot of people traveling from out of town. We had a bunch from Calgary. We had a bunch from Edmonton. I know prior to the show, I had half a dozen people message me about the show in Red Deer, and I am so glad that they came out, and I hope to get some of their opinions as to what they thought of the show. My other highlight of the night that I have to give, well, actually, I'll give two of them right now. I get to make a special GIF of the headline, Sean Martin's. For those that didn't see it, I got to see it after, so I didn't get to play it up as well as I wanted to. The headline ended up pulling a Titus O'Neil. He comes out, trips on the matting, goes right underneath the ring, folks. That's going to be a GIF. I gotta find a good GIF generator, and I'm going to get a GIF of that for everybody. Hilarious, to say the least. But in all seriousness, folks, if I'm going to give a highlight of the night, I'm going to give it to that women's match. Cherry Doll, Envy. I'll be honest, going into this match, I didn't expect a whole lot. When you got a wrestler in her debut, you don't expect her to pull out a lot in terms of a move set, in terms of flashy moves, and basically just trying to keep a story together while you're in the ring. Cherry Doll was, I'm going to say it a few times, she got a little too fired up, and I think the adrenaline got her a little too much. After being hit with a bunch of shots by Envy, she was up really quick, for my thinking at least. But then Envy, like, some of the moves I've seen from her in her two matches here are absolute money. Absolutely top drawer money. And I do hope that we get to see her a lot more in the ring here, because top flight talent. That's best way to put it. Her morals, I have to question. What that goop is on her face, I do have to question. But the actual talent in the ring, I can't question, straight up. My surprise tonight, we knew he was coming. I just didn't realize how dominant he was going to be. The introduction of Wrath to the Canadian Wrestling Coalition, that guy straight up scares me. I've heard a lot of stories behind where the origin of Wrath comes from, besides the education from Envy there. From what I've been told, even though Envy brought it out, there was something there before, and I don't exactly know where it's coming from, but over the next month here or so, I'm going to try and find Jack Hammer, see if he's actually still in there, and try and see where this is coming from. Folks, you might want to check on me regularly just to see if I'm alive or not, just based on this. But as I mentioned earlier, we have our next CWC show is going to be July 28th from Festival Hall, featuring that tables match between Jude Dawkins and Chris Parrish for the CWC Championship. I don't like to pump myself up here, folks, but starting off the show, and I guess I could give the big announcement here at the end of the show as well. For those that haven't checked out our Facebook page, facebook.com/backbreakermedia, the Wrestling Observer newsletter actually announced this right around the 14th, so about 2 weeks ago, that the CWC, MPW, PPW, basically the Backbreaker Media and Pontarello Productions venture into Alberta wrestling is now featured on the world's largest independent wrestling video on demand channel, powerslam.tv. Check out all the details on powerslam.tv. It's only $5.99 a month, American, and over 75 promotions and 2,000 hours of video so far. At this point, all current Pure Power Wrestling, Canadian Wrestling Coalition, and Monster Pro Wrestling matches will be going up on PowerSlam, as well as the Backbreaker VOD.pivotchair.com website. The only difference between the two is our vintage stuff will be exclusive to our Backbreaker Media site. So if you want to see some classic matches, we're going to send you to our site as well. So, but speaking of MPW and other promotions, our next episode of Quick Calls is actually going to be coming from the Alberta Avenue Hall grounds, hopefully, from just in Edmonton there with the Monster Pro Wrestling Summer Scorchers show. I got a jam-packed card there for you as general manager with every title right now currently on the line. I've mentioned all the matches that I do plan on having at the show so far. I got another couple promos up my sleeve that I hope to get out early next week. But I'm glad that the Wrestling Mind Brian Hamilton will be able to join me. It's a 2 p.m. show, folks, for anyone that's interested. Tickets are available through Backbreaker Media, through any MPW wrestler, or Diobo.com. Check out the Facebook page for MPW, and we can... there's a link in there as well, I do believe, to the online site. It is going to be a scorcher. It's going to go rain or shine, folks. If it's rainy outside, we're just going to move it inside the hall. So, and I'll let you guys in on something right now. I am going to have a very special announcement during the show here that is going to affect a ton of wrestlers on that roster. So, other than that, make sure you check out the Sounds of Struggle. Comes out every Thursday-ish. Basically, whenever they get it to me, I get it out sometime on Thursday. So please feel free to check it out. There's a whole bunch of other indie podcasts locally that we're getting interviews on. I might be doing some interviews in relation to PowerSlam TV and our Video On Demand channel here coming up. Stay tuned to Backbreaker Media, and I'll get you all the details on that. It's go time, folks. The indie scene in Alberta has never been brighter than it is right now. But I'm going to wrap this up right now because I'm starting to reach city limits and, you know, don't want to get a distracted driving ticket for, you know, podcasting and driving. So I want to thank each and every one of you for helping check out Quick Calls. And thank you for checking out independent wrestling throughout Alberta, whether it be on the video on demand or in person. It's always greatly appreciated. But that's going to wrap it up here, and I want to just let you guys know, if you're going to make a good call, make a quick call. And this has been Quick Calls, covering the CWC The One Royal Rumble show from the Festival Hall in Red Deer, here on Backbreaker Media.